Amen. Put your hands together and give God praise. Talking about responding to God's blessings.
Yeah.
The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You're going to have to forgive me this morning because I'm just thirsty, because I ate a whole bunch of stuff I wasn't supposed to eat yesterday, and a whole bunch of salt, and I'm just thirsty this morning, so just bear with me if I get a little dry mouth. Is that all right? When we open our Bibles to the Word of God to hear God speak to us, the text this morning is coming from Luke 17, and we know that these are wonderful days in this time when we're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're walking with him at this section in the Gospel of Luke towards Jerusalem. For many months, he crisscrossed Israel, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, doing many miracles and healings, casting out demons, showing compassion and sympathy, tenderness and mercy, but also speaking firmly about judgment, hell, punishment, proclaiming the full counsel of God to awaken the people of Israel to the necessity of looking to him as their Savior and their Redeemer.
Yeah.
It is in this seventh chapter of Luke we come to verses 11 through 19. During this period of Jesus' journey, which really began, if you read back in chapter 9, it began around verse 51. And it was recorded that he moved into the direction of Jerusalem. Now we're in the final one. See, you have to understand what we're reading about. We can't just read it. You have to understand the context of it for it to make sense. We are in the final months of Jesus' life right now. It isn't a direct route. It was taking months for him to finally arrive for the last time in Jerusalem. He makes the arrival in chapter 19, verse 28. He will go into Jerusalem through Jericho. And in the 18th chapter, so we're getting closer to that great moment. Are you with me? During this time of months and months of ministry, there were healings. There were many healings. There were many miracles. There were many casting out of demons. There were multiple times of preaching and ministering as he moved with his disciples and his apostles around this land. Luke, however, only records five.
That's right. Come on.
That doesn't mean that there were only five.
That's right.
He just recorded five.
Yeah.
If he had only recorded one, that should have been enough.
Yeah.
But he gave us five.
Yeah.
There's no way to even calculate the number of miracles that Jesus did when he was here. The New Testament testifies to the fact that the things that he said can't be done or contained in the books of the world. But we have five miracles during this period. And the one that we're talking about today is the fourth one. The first three involve one person. The last one involves two people in Jericho when Jesus heals two blind men. But Luke focused on this one. Matthew fills us in on the others. But here is a miracle that involves 10 people.
Yeah.
10 people with a terrible disease. A disease called leprosy. Let's pick up where it begins in verse 11. It came about while he was on his way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. Here, this is an amazing miracle. This ain't gonna shout today. I'm talking to you this morning. Because I want the folks of Restoration Temple to be educated. I can stand up here and make y'all shout all day long, but if you don't learn nothing when you leave here, what good is it? Amen? So I want you to learn. I want to dig in, and I want to just talk to you. Is that all right? If it hits me, it hits you. If it hurts, say ouch. If you agree with it, say amen. If it hurt and you agree with it, say amen anyhow.
Yeah, anyhow. Yeah.
This is an amazing miracle. Simultaneous instant healing of 10 men in one shot. Now, we talk about kill two birds with one stone. 10 men healed. At one time. Back in the fifth chapter of Luke, during the ministry of Jesus in Galilee, there's an account of the healing of a leper there. Chapter 5, verse 12. That's one.
Uh-huh.
But this is 10. This is a demonstration of a divine power
divine.
That is unmistakable and it is undeniable.
Yeah.
And if I add, I want to add a footnote here that never did the Jewish people or their leaders, listen to this, never did the Jewish people or their leaders deny the miracle power of Jesus.
Never.
They never denied that he was a healer.
That's right.
There was absolutely no way that they could, because he had proven it over and over. They couldn't deny his compassion or sympathy towards those who suffered. And in Jesus, and in Christ, God was manifesting his compassion.
That's right.
As much as he was his power. Because the miracles that Jesus did were miracles of mercy.
Mercy.
On people who suffered.
Hallelujah.
Lepers were of all people the most to be avoided. This is just background. I'm not getting to what I want to talk about yet, but I want you to understand this. You can't understand the gravity of it if you don't understand what they were really healed from.
Yeah.
What was leprosy?
Glory, hallelujah.
You had to stand at a distance away from people. Yeah. Jesus demonstrates on this occasion compassion. He demonstrates sympathy, and he demonstrates power.
Yeah.
And he also undoes what the people would have assumed to have been a divine curse. You know, there are folks that are good to tell you everything that's wrong in your life is a demon.
Come on.
It's a curse. The truth is, sometimes we walk into our own mess on purpose.
Yeah.
That's not a demon. We just freewheelly walk into some mess and then try to blame it on somebody else. Amen, somebody.
Come on,
what is it? They say, I can do bad all by myself. I missed my amen corner, but we're back today, amen? So I know I'm going to be turning over here and over here, but that's all right. I feel okay today.
Amen.
The people treated this as a divine curse, an idea that sickness comes as a result of sin, and leprosy of all things was horrific, and it was viewed as divine judgment. And so here is Jesus. He's being sympathetic, he's being compassionate, and he's being powerful, and he's overturning. Divine judgment.
Yeah.
In this case, you have a stunning miracle by all perspectives. Leprosy can be a general word. Lepis is the Greek term that means scaly. It's a word that can be used to describe a skin disease.
Yeah.
There'd be various kinds, not serious to the worst kind, which is created by a bacteria called bacillus.
Yeah.
And this is what we call leprosy.
Yeah.
It is such a serious and communicable disease that the Old Testament made prescriptions about people who had it. And in fact, it was an ancient disease. It was even found back in the mummies.
Yeah, yeah.
Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 lays out a long and careful prescription for determining whether someone has this disease. It's long and it's complicated because before they put that tag on you, they wanted to make sure that's really what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And the local health inspectors at the time were the priests.
That's right.
This was part of their function. Since they were responsible to know the law of God, apply the law of God, and since it was laid out in the law, if you had a skin disease of any kind, and you went to the priest, and you went through a process of what was required in Leviticus 13 and 14, they could determine exactly what you had. And if it was discovered that you had leprosy, then you were removed from all social contact. And the only people that you could ever associate with were other lepers. That's a message all in itself.
Yeah.
If you live so filthy,
right,
and you live so ugly,
yeah,
all you can really associate with is other people who live filthy,
yeah,
and ugly. Amen? Because
yeah,
other folks don't want to be around that. The
yeah,
old saying still holds true. Birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to them.
This was the worst. It was the absolute worst. The people you needed most, the loving family and friends, you couldn't go near them. You couldn't associate with other people in the synagogue or any social environment whatsoever. You were essentially an alien from life and left only with others in your same horrific situation.
Yeah.
And then here comes Jesus.
Here
he comes. And he heals you.
Yeah.
It's astounding. It's an incredible. And it's wonderful from all vantage points.
Yeah.
This is not just a physical healing.
That's right.
It's actually restoration.
Restoration.
Yeah.
There's several types of leprosy. It attacks the skin and the nerves.
All right.
It makes your body numb and your limbs have no feeling.
Yeah.
There's potential for serious injury because you can't feel where your feet are on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
It starts, we're told, with a simple pink patch of skin, usually around the nose or the cheek, or somewhere on your chin and your head. Listen to this. Then the patch begins to spread in all directions. Your eyebrows disappear. Tumors begin to grow all over your face, and then they go all over your body, and then you become systemic.
Wow.
It gets into your internal organs as well as your skin. Fingers and toes pull back into your body, literally absorbing themselves into your flesh. Bacteria getting into your bone marrow, impairing your blood supply, causing your bones to shrivel and your body to swell up and bend over. Accompanying loss of feeling in the body is a nerve disease. The victim destroys his own tissue because he has no feeling. Then it gets to your eyes, causes blindness, penetrates the teeth, so your teeth fall out. Body organs, the larynx and the windpipe get weak, so you end up with a raspy voice.
Yeah.
See, I want you to understand something. To sisters, we've been saying for years, oh, they were healed from leprosy, but we don't know what leprosy is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me.
Yeah.
Right? When you hear me shout or you see me cry, you don't know what the Lord has done for me. So let's talk about this thing for a minute. You get a raspy voice. Then the sickness progresses. Your skin loses its color. It becomes thick and scaly. Spots become sores. Sores become ulcers. The skin around the eyes and the ears begins to bunch up and furrows between swelling. So now you look like a lion around your brow. Your fingers dropped off as they absorb. Your toes start to fall off. Eyebrows and eyelashes drop out. Listen to this. Eyelashes and eyebrows gone. Fingers and toes absorbed into the body. Skin like leather. By this time, all you can see the person is the pitiful condition that they're in.
Yeah.
Unrecognizable to what they ever had been before.
Yeah.
And I would add a side note, isn't that what sin does to us?
Come on now, come on.
Doesn't it do the same thing?
Yeah.
Doesn't it get in there and make you say stuff you never thought you'd say?
Yeah.
Make you hurt people that you never thought you would hurt?
Come on,
make you look different and act different because you do what you want to do, how you want to do it. And it makes you look like somebody that you ain't never seen before.
Come on.
And the more you start to look like that, people start to think about you as what you really are, and they forget who you used to be.
Right.
Isn't that the same thing?
Hallelujah.
You can even smell a leper around the corner. Mm-hmm. Open sores. Y'all ever walk into a hospice unit?
Come on now.
Doesn't smell like pine salt in there, no matter how much they use.
Come on now.
Right about it?
Right.
You ever walk into a nursing home, no matter how good it is, no matter how good your insurance is, you smell two things up in there, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Tell us.
I know this was a long thing, but I want y'all to be educated Christians that understand the word and have a deeper understanding about the true power and nature of God. And when you leave here today, you should have a better understanding of what this miracle actually means.
Yes,
we've been talking for years. I've heard this for years.
Yes.
Never bothered myself to look up what actually does leprosy do to you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And when I read it, I almost cried.
Hallelujah.
Restoration.
Yeah, restoration.
Stay with me. A few months back, I had a conversation with a man in his church parking lot. Mm-hmm. He had had a fire. He had lost custody of his children. And he had been recently divorced. He was permitted to see his children only on the weekends and only under supervision. And this was around Thanksgiving time. And I asked him what was he going to be doing on Thanksgiving, and I told him Happy Thanksgiving. And the answer that I thought I was going to get would be you too. But he said to me, Pastor, what do I have to be thankful for?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, that response hit me like somebody had punched me in the chest, because I expected a you too. And I could be on my way after I asked him why he was parked somewhere that he wasn't supposed to be parked. And he said, what do I have to be thankful for? So I got out of the car, I walked back towards him, and we had what ended up to be a long discussion. discussion. And I said, we did suffer losses, and so do many other individuals. We've experienced tragedy and hardship. And then we compare their situations to where they were in the past, and holidays become difficult.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We often reflect back and we look about, well, last year I was in a better place.
Yes, yeah.
And then we say things like, what do I have to be thankful for? Remember, we're talking about responding to the blessings of God.
Yeah.
This brother chose to remember what the year was and perhaps concluded that rather than progressing, he was going backward.
Backwards.
His attitude was that the world was going down rather than thanking God mm-hmm. on the positives that he still had
in
his life.
All right.
He was seeing the losses and he concluded that he had no reason to be thankful.
All right.
So I want you to just turn to somebody and say, gratitude comes from attitude.
Gratitude comes from attitude.
Gratitude comes from attitude.
Gratitude.
Find somebody else. Find another neighbor. Say it again. Gratitude comes from your attitude. Jesus is in an unnamed village on his way to Jerusalem, and Luke gives the location of the village situated between the regions of Samaria and Galilee. At the entrance to the village, 10 men with leprosy shouted from a distance, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus at this time was a popular figure, and the lepers by now heard of his other healings.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
See, you're known by the works that you
yes,
do.
I heard. Yeah.
Now, what is it that you want folks to say they heard?
Come on,
come on now, because they're going to say it anyway. But what do you want to be on the other end of? I heard you were with such and such, or I heard of the miraculous work that you've been doing. I'll take number two. Jesus, with this time, he was a popular figure. We know that they had already heard about him. They weren't asking for money, for they knew enough to know that anyone on the way to Jerusalem cannot have contact with them, or they would be considered unclean and they may not enter the temple. So they were expecting a healing. Because Jesus asked them to go and show themselves to the priest.
Yeah.
Only the priest we know could certify whether they were lepers and or they no longer had the disease.
Yeah.
Am I right about it? And such certification brought an enormous benefit because it meant one could re-enter society.
Yeah.
Re-enter dealings with other folks. It meant now that you could buy and sell your own property again. And you could again have relationships. Your humanity would be restored if they were only clean. Your humanity can be restored if you are clean. Did you hear that? That's a whole other message in itself. If you don't feel that your stuff is right, maybe you're a little dirty. If you become clean, your humanity will be what? Restored.
Come on, talk to us.
Let me remind you that the law had required that they scream to passers-by, I'm unclean. So no one would accidentally come in contact with them. There are 10 people Jesus met on the road to Jerusalem. They were considered punished by God for something they did and therefore were dismissed from society.
Yes.
They weren't regarded as humans. They were seen as filth, and they lived without hope and believed that God had punished them. They were sinners, and no one took pity on them. My point is, if we're asking for more than if they were not asking for more than a physical healing, they were asking for total restoration. Yet there was one person that afternoon who saw them and heard them, and they were required to shout out, unclean, unclean.
Yeah.
But instead they said, Jesus.
Jesus.
Master, have mercy. What's the point of that? Well, first they had to acknowledge that they were unclean.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We want to come down and run stuff and tell folks how to do things and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
But we want to tell you how to clean your house and what's on your porch and how to get the dirt off of your house and how to raise your children when ours are in jail. But we're going to tell you what you did wrong with yours. Amen. We're going to tell you how to run your church, but mine is all hell is breaking loose. See, we don't want to acknowledge that we're unclean. We just want to say, Jesus, have mercy. But if you want the mercy, you have to have the acknowledgement that you need it.
Yes.
Come on,
that's right.
my house and your house is filthy.
Come on,
clean yours first.
Yes,
and if you got some time after that, come help me with mine.
Yeah.
But I'm going to yours first to see what yours look like.
Because
if your version of clean is a mess, don't come help me. Come on, somebody. When we acknowledge who we truly are, that's when mercy kicks in. But you have to acknowledge who you really are for the mercy to kick in. This morning, a lady said to me, who watches online, she said, you said that you have struggles and things of that nature. And I said, yes. She said, I don't want a pastor that struggles. I said, if you get a pastor and he tell you he ain't never struggled with something, you better run from him because he's a liar.
That's right.
He's a flat out liar. This robe, all it does is hide my fat. It don't make me any different than you. Amen. You just can't see my lumps and bumps. That's why I'm thirsty now, because I ate some stuff I wasn't supposed to eat last night, and it was good. But now look at me up here going like this.
Hallelujah. Come on.
I'm not talking about grace. I'm talking about mercy.
Mercy.
He didn't do a big ceremony. He simply said, go show yourself to the priest.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Go show yourself to the priest. The focus on the story by Luke is not on healing, but it's on the gratitude of the victims.
Yeah.
Luke reported that they obeyed and turned around to go and show themselves to the priest, but they noticed something, that they were healed. But one turned around on seeing the miracle and on noticing the great gift of healing, he ran back straight to Jesus. Now he could touch another person. Luke tells us he fell on the feet of Jesus, and he thanked him. He also added something important in verse 16. The man was a Samaritan.
Yeah.
He was a member of a group not regarded as being legitimate.
That's right.
Doesn't that sound like where we are right now?
Come on now.
Doesn't that sound like where we are right now?
Tell it.
A group that's not being regarded as legitimate?
Come on now.
Ain't nothing new under the sun, is it?
No.
But this Samaritan noticed that he came back to say thank you.
Thank you.
The rest were too excited to remember to thank God. Mm. They couldn't wait to do the things that they had missed for so long. They had to pick their lives back up where they left. But the attitude of the Samaritan was different. He knew that this enormous gift could only come from the Lord. And he had a different attitude, and that it was where his gratitude was. And for that, he received more blessings from the Lord.
Yeah.
See, you get what you want, then you forget.
Uh-huh.
But guess what? If you forget and you don't acknowledge it, that's all you're going to get.
Come on now.
But if you lay down at the feet of Jesus and thank him
for
everything that he has blessed you with, he will, without a doubt, open up the windows of heaven and give you so much you have to pick and choose which blessing you're going to walk in that day. Amen.
Yeah.
Don't just ask for one thing. Because he's got so much more for you. He had a different attitude. The Lord told him, rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus told him in verse 19, your faith has made you well. How should we respond to the blessings of God? With gratitude. There's some folks that say God is obligated. That makes my spirit go like this. I mean, I understand the concept behind it, but in the reality of it, he's not obligated to do anything. Because if he had given us our just reward, that would be hell. On our best day. On our best day. Respond with gratitude, respond with thanks, and respond with praise. And how do you develop attitude and gratitude? Remember where you've been, where you're going. To those who work hard to forget their past, they're the ones that stay in exile for the longest.
Come on now.
Are you with me? Those who forget to remember that where they came from and what messed them up, they're the ones that stay isolated the longest. The secret of redemption is found in remembering where you came from and acknowledging the God that brought you to where you are right now.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Jesus. Responding to God's blessings, never forget where you came from. Be reminded that what we remember is a choice, and such remembrances affect our attitude. Isn't that right?
Yes, yes.
Whether you're sad, angry, or thankful depends on your attitude. You may disagree that your year has been filled and fruitful with, you know, and healthy and all of that stuff, but you can't overlook all of the other blessings that God has given you.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to be thankful for those things.
Yeah.
It's like giving somebody a present. And they look at it and it's not what they wanted.
Come on now.
First of all, you didn't have to give them anything.
Come on, talk to them.
So you're going to be thankful that somebody cared enough about you to think and thought enough about you to give you something.
Yeah.
And see what it is, because that's really what the Lord wanted you to have.
Yeah.
May not be what you wanted, but oftentimes what we want is not what we're supposed to have.
Yeah.
I wanted that mess I ate last night. Wasn't supposed to have it.
Yeah.
And I still got some left over.
Okay.
I'm praying for my housekeeper will throw it out when she gets there today. You may wonder what you have to be thankful for if you choose to remember just the difficult days and not the pleasant ones.
Come on now.
Folks complain about their job.
Come on.
But you have a job.
Come on.
You can't put gas in your car without money. You can't get money without a job. It may not be your ideal, but it's where God has placed you.
Yeah.
You ought to thank Him for it.
Yeah.
And when you start thanking Him for what He's done, He'll promote you to better things.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
He'll promote you to better things.
Yeah.
But not if you sit there and tell all this job.
Come on.
Because thank you.
Thank you.
Gratitude is an attitude, and the blessings of providence are all around us.
Yeah.
But we have to choose to remember them. We can count our blessings when we choose to remember them. Then and only can we truly see God's grace in action.
Yeah.
Responding to God's blessings, believe that all is well and all can be well, and that your condition is not permanent.
That's right.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
Where you are right now better not be where you are next year. If you're in the same place next year that you are right now, you are doing something wrong. If you were broke last year and you're broke now, there is something wrong with that. Either your giving is out of order or your thankfulness is out of order. God quiet, but that's the truth. I do all right. I don't want for nothing. There's a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of mess that I would love to buy, but I don't need it. Everything that I need, I have. Because the Lord is my provider. Everything that I need, I have. And a lot of the stuff that I want, I have.
Come on now.
And I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
This condition, though, isn't permanent. How many of you have had a doctor's report and you didn't like it, and now you're well? That condition wasn't permanent.
Come on now.
The only time your condition is permanent is when you refuse to walk in what God has for you.
Come on now.
When you refuse to do what He tells you to do, you will be the same that you were yesterday.
Come on now.
You will leave every place just like you came.
Come on now.
Right?
That's right.
Nature of God, as the God of mercy, does not provide us with what is bad. Jesus asked, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone?
Yeah. Come on.
Right? In the same way we follow Christ and know that we believe that God will answer us in His time. It may not be your time, but it will be in His time. See, we talked about that this morning in Sunday school. The lack of a spirit of gratitude is the reason we fail to act without thankfulness.
That's right.
As a result, it's easy to forget the things that we already have.
Yeah.
I'm talking to me because I was struggling with a decision.
Come on.
I was struggling with a business decision.
Talk to them.
And I made a statement. Somebody overheard the statement. Brought it to my attention.
Uh-huh.
Caused me to go back and look at all that I have.
Come on now.
Versus how weary I may feel.
Yeah, yeah.
I was looking at how tired I was.
Yeah.
I was looking at how I was doing the work of five people.
Uh-huh.
I was looking at boy, you know, I really just want to just sit down and play with my dogs. I wasn't looking at the beautiful home that I live in.
Come on,
the two or three cars that I have that are paid for.
Yeah.
And the crystal that hangs from my ceilings.
Yeah.
and I wasn't looking at all the things that God has blessed me with as a result of that job.
Yeah, right. Come on, talk to us.
Instead, I was focusing on how
come on now.
I was.
Hallelujah. Come on now.
Responding to God's blessing. See, that was an ouch for me. I'm not just talking at you, I'm talking to me too. Amen.
Amen.
Choose the things that bring thankfulness and not those things that elicit anger, regret, and sadness.
Yeah.
If all you do is look at what you don't have, you won't remember what you do.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Come on, talk to them.
There are wars in the world. There's hunger and there is pain. There's poverty and there is death. Yet we can become thankful because of it. Not because of it, but in spite of it.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
A songwriter once wrote, count your blessings and name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Remember, I shared about the conversation I had with this gentleman in the parking lot. That man in the parking lot did not count his blessings. He was alive. Someone had found him after he had overdosed and called the paramedics, who rushed him to the hospital. He was slowly getting back. He had a place to live. He was alive, and hope had begun for him. But that's not what he focused on. That's not what he saw. When he was telling me about all of these things, I was like, wow. And he just asked, what do you have to be thankful for? You have to be thankful for life. Someone cared enough about you to call 911 while there was phone coming out your mouth because of something that you had decided to do to yourself. It goes to show that we remember in this life. What we remember in this life is our choice. The leper before Christ that afternoon was on a lonely road to Jerusalem, and he didn't cry. He didn't cry over the years and things of the relationships that he had lost. He wasn't focused on his present condition. All he knew that Jesus was coming, and he said, when I see him, I'm going to cry out, have mercy. Be thankful for what you have. To me, one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fig on the vine, though the yield of olives should fail, there be no cattle in the stall, yet I will praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I will rejoice in the God of my salvation.
Yeah.
In spite of it all, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation.
Yeah.
Responding God's blessings requires a reflective spirit. Don't take things for granted. Have a reflective spirit. The other nine lepers heard that Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead, and they never thought of their own healings as anything out of the ordinary for Christ. The Samaritan had a different view. He remembers the life of isolation, living as a dead man while others were alive. He saw that Christ did and thought about the possibilities for the future. Through the reflection, he returned to say thank you. We develop an attitude of gratitude not because our lives are perfect, but because we know whom we believe in. We develop an attitude not because of, but in spite of everything that we've been through. Only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, came from the brief moment in the direction of the priests, wherever the priests were. They might have been local, they might have been in a village or nearby. He stopped in his tracks, he spun around, he came back full of joy, full of amazement, and full of wonder. He was trying to process what that meant. It said as they were walking, they noticed that they were healed. It was instant, and I just told you what leprosy was. Instant. That is a miracle, and only one went back to say thank you. He understood the real implications of what had just happened. Total restoration, not just physical. He had been in the presence of God, and he wanted more than a physical healing. They said 10 men healed. I said one man saved. 10 healed, but one saved. 10 healed, but one saved. Only saved folks go back and tell God thank you. Unsaved folks think that he owes them something. Amen. 10 men healed, but one saved. Simply because his attitude, and I'm done. When the storms of life are raging, give thanks. Come on, y'all. When the storms of life are raging, give thanks. When the walls of the world close in, you should give
thanks.
Give thanks. Give praise. You have to have an attitude of gratitude. And I'm closing out. When the storms of life are raging, give thanks. When the walls of the world close in, give thanks. When your money is funny, Give thanks.
Yes.
When you're looking for a job, give thanks.
Yes.
Come on, when you need a new car, give thanks. When you feel all alone, you still got to give God thanks. Give thanks for the blessings that God has already given to you. God wants to bless you. It's your attitude that prevents you from walking into what God has for you. In all things, give thanks. In all things, that's the word. And in all things, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. But in all things, whatever this world throws at me, I'm going to say thank you. When people stop talking to me, I got mad. Now I say thank you, Lord. Because I know who you really are. Thank you for whatever it is. The attitude of gratitude when upon life's billows, you are tempted and you are tossed. When you're discouraged and you think that all is lost, count so many blessings. Name them one by one and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. If you sing that song, it says you have a burden and a load of care.
Come on.
Does the cross seem heavy that you're called to bear? Let me tell you a secret. The cross that you bear ain't nothing like the one that Jesus bore. It was so heavy, he was fully man and fully God, but he still had to stop and somebody had to help him. Carry.
Come on.
Count your many blessings. I guarantee you every doubt will fly away from you. It'll keep you singing as the days go by. When you look at other people with their lands and gold and you think that Christ has promised you wealth untold, count your blessings that money can't buy. Your reward is in heaven and your home is on God. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, don't be discouraged because God covers it all.
Thank you.
rest is not here. Your rest is beyond the river.
Yes.
So while we're here, we need to work. We need to tell others about the love of Jesus in the hedges and the highways and compel others to come to Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So we get ready for benediction. I just want to encourage you, and just want you to keep family in prayer. Keep the Jones and the Santiago family in prayer. We're going to marry them on Sunday after church next Sunday. Is that all right? What God has joined together, amen, let no man. So you know how the devil works. He's busy. When he get ready to know that you're about to go in the right direction, he get busy. So we're going to keep you in prayer this week. I can't wait to see you on Sunday. We're going to get married. Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.